This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Futuro.
I think my journey now is to kind of break out of that box of bedroom pop or indie pop. I think that no matter where you started making music, you could still be a pop star or a rock star.
From Futuro Media and PRX, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, a dive into bedroom pop, a genre where young Latinx artists are breaking new ground and reclaiming their place in the music industry. Even if you haven't heard of the term bedroom pop, you'd probably recognize the music in this genre pretty quickly. What's it gonna take me now? Bedroom pop music is dreamy and nostalgic, often acoustic with minimal production. So tell me what it's gonna take me now. It's not meant to sound like a massive studio production. In fact, bedroom pop got its name because of its origins. Most times, this music is produced by independent artists from their actual homes and their bedrooms. Do-it-yourself music phenomenons like this aren't new. House music, garage, grunge, even hip-hop began in garages and backyards and underground parties outside of the mainstream. It's where young artists, often artists of color, were able to experiment with new sounds on their own. In 2021, up-and-coming artists are continuing this legacy in bedroom pop. A lot of young stars today, like Billie Eilish, Clairo, and Rex Orange County, got their start in bedroom pop. And as the genre's gone more mainstream, a lot of young Latinx musicians are making a name for themselves in this space too. The Marías, Omar Apollo, Cuco, just to name a few. But some artists say this glamorizes an actual struggle. When you don't have access to resources or connections, you don't really have a choice but to make music from your room. And the bedroom pop phenomenon can obscure the fact that a lot of these artists are making music this way out of necessity. It impacts a lot of musicians of color who are historically underrepresented and lack support in the industry, even when they're often helping to pioneer these hot new genres, like many Latinos and Latinas are doing today with bedroom pop. Producer Daniela Tello Garzón spoke with a few Latinx musicians about the challenges that come with being independent artists of color and their experiences as rising bedroom pop stars. Daniela is going to take it from here.
This is Victor Internet. They're a young artist who started out by using YouTube to teach themselves how to play music. That's not their real name, by the way. Victor Cervantes adopted Internet as their stage name after deciding to become a musician. Today, performing as Victor Internet, they have millions of streams on Spotify and tour all over the US. Victor, who uses they-them pronouns, makes the kind of music that makes you feel seen, touching on the highs and lows of love and life. Their melodies make you want to dance and cry at the same time.
I think it either feels like an anonymous love letter, or it feels like laundry, like fresh out of the dryer, and it just smells really good, like linen. I think that's what my music is like.
Victor is first-generation Mexican-American from the South Side of Chicago. Both in their music and on social media, they've been outspoken about their heritage, along with their queerness and their mental health journey. They've also been outspoken about their struggles making it as a full-time musician. And as passionate as they are about it, it hasn't been an easy journey. Victor didn't have any formal music education. Their passion for music started with their family.
I grew up in the church, and both my parents sing or play an instrument. My dad is a mariachi, so I grew up around him playing the trumpet. And my mom is a singer, so I just kind of grew up around that.
But even with their parents' musical backgrounds, Victor had no idea where to begin if they wanted to do this for a living. They couldn't afford to pay for music classes or high-tech software and equipment. They didn't have any connections to music labels in the U.S. or any other kind of foot in the door to the industry. So Victor took matters into their own hands.
I was born in the year 2000, and computers were like rolling out and becoming really big thing. So I decided to teach myself through YouTube. I didn't go to school for music production or anything like that. I just taught myself through the internet.
Victor learned how to use digital audio workspaces. Those are music production software used to compose, record, arrange, mix, and master audio. The first digital audio workspace that Victor used was FL Studio, and they eventually moved over to using Ableton. They torrented the software off of illegal websites and would borrow their friend's microphone to record their music.
I thought that was cool, like the fact that I can learn the things that are taught in schools that people pay a lot of money for. I just thought it was really cool that anyone could just hop on YouTube and learn that stuff.
Victor was about 17 years old when they started posting their own original songs online, on streaming sites like SoundCloud and YouTube. They journeyed into underground stardom at around the same time as other artists who were doing the same thing. For the artists that were making music this way, the process felt really democratic. You just make your own work and upload it online, letting the rest of the world decide if it likes you or not.
There was this era on SoundCloud back in 2017 of people like me who also just like learned online or just started out in their room with like really cheap gear. And that scene was blowing up. We all grew up together just doing the same thing.
I was 17 years old at around the same time that Victor was. I wasn't uploading music to SoundCloud, but I was on the receiving end of this movement they're talking about. I was one of thousands of people that were discovering hidden gems like Victor Internet, and I quickly became a huge fan. There's been too much on my mind. Lost me to your wrongs and my rights. I became obsessed with discovering small artists on the internet. I'd fall into rabbit holes on SoundCloud and Spotify, and I'd follow these artists on social media. A lot of these artists were teenagers, like me. I started making playlists and sharing them with my friends. The music was warm and inviting, especially the music by Latinx artists. Like me, a lot of them were raised by immigrant parents in a country that differed vastly from the culture their parents knew. This music reflected those experiences, sometimes in both English and in Spanish, and listening to it made me feel at home. Even at my majority white high school, where I was surrounded by people I couldn't identify with, I could identify with music by Boy Pablo, Los Retros, Daniel Andrade, Luna Luna, and other Latinx artists. They made up a majority of my playlists. Victor and these other young artists, and to a lesser extent, listeners like me too, we were fueling a movement. And without necessarily realizing it, we were stumbling into the world of bedroom pop.
Bedroom pop is a DIY, do-it-yourself form of music production that generally involves an artist working with very limited tools and production methods to create pop music.
That's Andrew Casillas, a music contributor for Rolling Stone. Andrew ran the Latin music blog Club Fonograma between 2008 and 2016. Andrew says that today's bedroom pop scene was decades in the making.
Commercial recording equipment was very bulky back in the 1950s and 60s when rock and roll and even hip hop were really burgeoning. It wasn't really to the 80s till there were a little bit better commercial equipment that people could kind of purchase for their own home studios or themselves. But it really wasn't until the digital audio boom back in the late 90s, early 2000s, where bedroom pop really became its own sort of scene.
By this time, digital audio was making it easier than ever for artists to create and share music from home, and technology only became more and more accessible. Enter streaming. In the mid-2010s, artists started uploading their work to platforms like SoundCloud, YouTube, and Spotify, just like Victor did. More and more people began experimenting with music from home, leading to a real bedroom pop boom.
I think what makes it a movement is just that it is so easy to make nowadays. Now, I mean, we have GarageBand, which comes basically with every single Apple device. And there's a ton of others you can just download online that allow you to make whatever kind of music, frankly, that you want to make. I think what sets it apart over, you know, generationally is that it's become a lot more popular in the mainstream.
A new generation of bedroom pop artists started getting more and more popular around the late 2010s. Right as artists like Victor began to make a name for themselves on the internet. Streaming services and major labels took notice and began to really push the bedroom pop brand. Today, Spotify's bedroom pop playlist, which helped popularize the term, has over 880,000 subscribers. Bedroom pop stars are competitive in the industry. Billie Eilish, who started out recording music from her parents' home, is winning Grammys. And homemade music videos are racking up millions of hits. Claro's video for the song Pretty Girl, for example, has over 78 million views on YouTube. But some quintessential bedroom pop artists like Victor Internet took issue with the hype. Victor noticed that they were being grouped in with other artists who were actually backed by lots of money and resources from the jump.
They just like went crazy and they're like, wow, this is like the next big thing. And yeah, there were a lot of people in the industry, a lot of artists coming out who claimed to be self-made and like, you know, bedroom pop, but they weren't.
Victor says the commercialization of bedroom pop feels inauthentic. They acknowledge that the term bedroom pop originated to describe a certain type of music and how it was made. But when trends like this become popular in the mainstream, sooner or later, you start seeing efforts to profit off of it.
What bedroom pop really is, it's kind of evolved beyond its roots to where it literally was made in a bedroom, made by yourself, or maybe made with yourself and a friend, to where people can have full bands that can kind of co-opt the aesthetic nature of bedroom pop.
Andrew is referring to the fact that it's become easy to recreate the bedroom pop sound in studios using professional engineers, bands, and advanced production equipment. Bedroom pop has also become a marketable aesthetic. Think Polaroid photos, dim lighting, and acoustic guitars, with young singers posting fuzzy YouTube videos of them performing in their bedrooms. This kind of elaborate production and branding is a sharp contrast against the stories of Victor and other young artists like them. But this isn't the first time the music industry has witnessed this kind of mainstreaming of music genres. Bedroom pop's humble beginnings echo past musical movements. For example, there's house music. House is a form of electronic dance music that originated in Chicago in the late 1980s. Black American DJs pioneered the genre, using drum machines and splicing together records to make music at home. Their music first took off among Black audiences in the regional underground club scene, who boosted its popularity across Chicago, the US, and the rest of the world. And then there's grunge. It started out in Seattle with artists playing music from their homes, literally in their garages. Influenced by punk rock and heavy metal, the grunge movement was all about being nonconformist, and it was characterized by this idea of sounding dirty and unpolished. The success of groups like Nirvana and Pearl Jam took this anti-mainstream music all the way to the Billboard charts. So much popular music has origin stories like these, such as techno, garage, downtempo. The list goes on. There's a similar theme here. So many of these musicians started these movements from their home, DIY style, because sometimes making music from their bedroom is the only point of entry for a lot of artists, especially artists of color, who often don't have the money or resources to break into music, or don't have the right connections to do so. For Victor, sometimes it's frustrating to watch bedroom pop take off the way it has.
Me and my friends worked so hard from our bedrooms to try and get to where we are now. I started making music out of my bedroom, which wasn't a choice. It just happened that way because I didn't have a lot of money growing up, and so I didn't have access to a big studio. There were streaming platforms at the time that started coining the term bedroom pop, and they would create playlists to cater to different audiences. So it felt like they were profiting off of a struggle.
Coming up on Latino USA, bedroom pop is sweeping the internet as a popular new music genre among young artists and audiences. But the struggle to build a music career offline is real. Today, Latino and Latina artists are trying to figure out how to make it in an industry that historically has shut them out. Stay with us. No te vayas.
Support for Latino USA comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/latino. That's odoo.com/latino. Odoo. Modern management made simple.
Hey, we're back. We've been hearing about bedroom pop and how young Latino and Latina musicians like Victor Internet got their start as independent artists, literally working out of their bedrooms. But making a career in music is about more than just talent, and being an independent artist comes with its own set of challenges. Producer Daniela Tello Garzón picks up the story from here.
The drum solo in the song you're hearing is being played by Chris Sanchez. He's a 21-year-old Mexican-American drummer from Chicago.
I absolutely love what I do. I've been doing this professionally for a while now, and honestly, it's been a roller coaster. I want to do this for the rest of my life.
Chris has always known he was going to be a musician. At the age of 3, he started banging on pots and pans, even breaking his parents' spoons from playing too hard. His parents bought him a drum set, and he taught himself how to play when he was 5 years old. When he was 12, Chris found a mentor that would give him lessons in exchange for helping out at gigs. Almost every weekend for several years, Chris would help carry equipment and set up on stage. And when the show was over, he would be there to help take everything down. Chris has been working independently as a full-time musician for 7 years. He is a freelancer for different bands, including plenty of bedroom pop artists, but he doesn't want to be pigeonholed into any one genre.
Bedroom pop is I think it's a dumb term. Music is music. Sometimes I feel like people look down upon bedroom pop because it wasn't made in like a professional studio. It's a funny term for that style of music, I think.
The risks of being looked down upon and then exploited are even higher as an artist of color. As Latinx artists, Chris and Victor Internet have both experienced discrimination in the music industry.
Folks avoid me after shows while they congratulate my white bandmates. One time when I was younger, I received a check that was a lesser amount than my white bandmates. I was the only brown person in the band, and I was also the youngest person in the band. I have to work twice as hard because I have brown skin. I feel like I have to work twice as hard to get the same gig, twice as hard to get the same opportunities that someone else with white skin would get a lot easier.
I feel like a lot of artists of color in the industry get treated so unfairly, but you know, they're still praised when they talk about their trauma and stuff. So white people in the industry, they love that we, you know, talk about this oppression and how we struggle with these traumas and the things that we've gone through. But it's weird because they don't really do much to help out. I feel like white artists definitely get praised for doing the bare minimum sometimes, and it's a very frustrating situation.
Chris and Victor have been able to push through to find success on their own terms. As the bedroom pop phenomenon shows, there's different ways to make it as an independent musician, either full-time or part-time. For many artists who get into music professionally in the first place, that's exciting. Multiple opportunities to do what you love. Here's Andrew Casillas again, the music journalist we heard from before.
Depending on the kind of setup you have, you make your income a lot of different ways, right? You make your money off of physical sales. You make your money off of streaming numbers. There is the touring. There's the merchandising. There are the commercial aspects.
If you're lucky, streaming numbers can turn out to be pretty lucrative.
I started putting out my first songs through DistroKid, so all of the growth was very organic.
DistroKid is an independent music distribution service that allows artists to put their music on streaming platforms and monetize their listens. Many times hit the ground, I had trouble keeping up. It's considered one of the easier ways to get your music out there. Tables turned, took a little
while for me to adjust. After a few months, I started seeing like $500 rolling in. I was like, oh, that's crazy. I've never had $500 to my name. That's so crazy. After that, like, it just kept growing and growing, and I would just notice that my monthly listeners would go up, and then 500 turned to 5,000.
Platforms like Spotify pay artists a rate of about $1 for every 250 streams. To be making that kind of money off of streaming, Victor Internet had to be racking up more than 1.2 million listens. Admittedly, that's not easy for a lot of artists. But even if you don't become huge online, it's definitely possible to be a working musician and have a regular gig-based income.
There are a couple of sources of income that, as a musician, you can acquire. One would be steady gigs, you know, like wedding gigs, you know, regular weekend gigs or just background gigs. Or you can just cut a really fat check from being on a record.
Chris is hustling to make a name for himself as a working musician. But breaking into the industry is about more than just being good at music. This is true for plenty of bedroom pop artists, or smaller artists in general, and for freelance musicians like Chris. And for a lot of them, the independent lifestyle is sometimes the only way to get started. As an independent artist, Chris manages his own schedule, his own gigs, his own promoting, and his own finances. In the past, he's worked side gigs for Uber and Popeyes to supplement his income. Chris is currently a full-time musician, but being your own manager is basically a second job on top of the music. Chris can be skeptical of the music industry and typical markers of success, like signing to a label. He sometimes wonders what it would be like. That would mean more money, better equipment, connections in the industry. He could keep working with other artists, like the bedroom pop bands he collaborates with. And he could also have more time to figure out his future plans. But Chris doesn't want to get burned or feel like he's being commodified.
I've been doing well, you know, releasing music independently. If a label decides to hit me up with an offer, I'll think about it. But if they're not going to be working for me, then I'm not going to sign to a label. That's just going to take advantage of me as just a front, you know, for being diverse. I'm not going to be used as an object to raise more money for other folks.
There are limits to a fully independent lifestyle, though. Soon after blowing up online, Victor Internet noticed the logistics of operating as an independent artist were overshadowing the creative work. They began to wonder, after reaching a certain level of success, do you reach a point where your bedroom becomes too small for you? I just wanna kiss you with something, nothing serious. I've been wanting attention, dying for a touch. I don't mean to come off strong. Victor decided to try a music label out. In 2018, they signed with a small label called Terrible Records.
I had never thought that I would sign with a label or distributor, but I think there comes a point as an independent artist where you just need a little more money.
Victor says they liked Terrible Records' business model because it operated a lot like a music distributor and was a lot more hands-off than traditional labels. So once their contract was up in 2019, Victor decided to seek out an actual distribution network.
I wanted to just explore my options. So Terrible Records is really cool, and I'm so grateful for everything they did for me. I just wanted to branch out and try and working with other distributors and see what they could offer.
Today, Victor works with a distribution network called AWOL. This relationship affords Victor a lot of freedom, including retaining full creative control over their music. Can you give me one day of this attitude? Makes me wonder why I don't have a clue. Victor says the way it works is that they get a fee from AWOL up front, like a loan, to cover Victor's production costs. The distributor expects to eventually recoup that money once Victor's music drops. In the meantime, AWOL can connect Victor to professional sound engineers and other industry professionals to help with production. AWOL also handles distribution and sales in exchange for a small cut.
You know, in the past, a lot of artists have gotten screwed over signing to a record label and they owe a bunch of money. And sometimes, you know, the record label just wants you to do something different that you don't want to do. So I'm really excited that now we just have distributors. I think that's really cool because they just get your music out and, you know, maybe they'll give you some money. And I think that's important because then they just let us take care of the rest.
Victor thinks this setup has made a difference in their music. They now work with a professional engineer and they feel that it's been an upgrade from having to mix and master everything on their own.
So it had this indie sound to it, like very lo-fi, because, you know, it wasn't mixed well. My audience notices with my current releases, like LUV and One Day, they are mixed and mastered. LUV, I gave you a chance and you blew it. Heard me from the start and you knew it. Whereas older songs like maybe Reason or Tender Song weren't mixed and mastered. Sometimes I find myself thinking of you.
For Victor, the idea of bringing outside help into their bedroom setup meant they have the space to grow as an artist. They still feel like they've held on to the things that make their music unique to them. But they can focus more on the future and their career.
You want to make something that's true to yourself, but at the same time, you want people to be able to digest it. I'm trying to make little more happier stuff because I noticed like that does really well. So it's hard following the algorithm sometimes and following the trends, but I'm doing my best. I think with time I'll figure it out and I'll be able to, you know, stick to my sound, but also stay fresh.
This is a luxury that was hard to come by when Victor was fully independent. As they get more and more successful, Victor doesn't want the reality of their musical journey to get buried. But that doesn't mean Victor is only ever going to make music from their bedroom. They want their future to hold more than that.
I want to be that kind of artist where I'm putting out great music and I have this dedicated, almost cult-like fan base. Sometimes I get recognized on the street, which I never thought would happen, but it happens sometimes and it's the weirdest feeling ever. So I don't think I would ever want to go fully mainstream, but I definitely want to be, you know, a little bit in the middle.
I've been a Victor internet fan since I stumbled across their music in 2017. This October, 4 years later, I got to see them perform live. The concert was at Lincoln Hall, in Victor's hometown of Chicago, and it was one of their first shows since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. The venue was packed, with hundreds of people there. The crowd was young, and they were all dressed in costumes ahead of the upcoming Halloween weekend. Being the same age as Victor, I feel like I grew up with them. And even as a longtime fan, their journey still feels kind of crazy to me. After years of struggling to make music from their room, today, Victor Internet has tons of fans screaming their name.
Hi, Chicago! Welcome back. I forgot how to talk. It's been 2 years since I've been on the stage.
But there's a lot of artists at home that are still using cheap equipment and limited resources to try to get where Victor is. Even if they're making great music, and even if they've started to attract attention from listeners, a lot of them can get stuck living out the real bedroom pop experience. They're looking for some support to continue doing what they love and grow into the artist they want to become.
I think as long as people are aware that we didn't do this by choice, I think that's what would make me happy. Just that, you know, they know that it's a real struggle. And maybe they should work on giving these artists more resources, you know, like people who are still in their bedroom. I think we should work on getting them into studios because they have the talent, they just don't have the resources. And I think that's a problem. Like, that's, it's important to get them in these rooms.
Admit that I wasn't the best, and I wish I could start again. There's some voices that live in my mind, and they force me to say goodbye. I say goodbye to my friends.
This episode was produced by Daniela Teo Garzón and edited by Alejandra Salazar. It was mixed by Julia Caruso and JJ Carubin. The Latino USA team includes Andrea Lopez Cruzado, Marta Martinez, Mike Sargent, Julieta Martinelli, Victoria Estrada, Patricia Zulbarán, Ginny Montalvo, Reinaldo Leaños Jr., and Julia Rocha, with help from Raúl Pérez. Our editorial director is Julio Ricardo Varela. Our supervising senior engineer is Stephanie LeBeau. Our associate engineer is Gabriela Baez. Our digital editor is Luis Luna. Our fellows are Elisa Baena, Monica Morales, and Andrew Viñales. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. In the meantime, I'll see you on all of our social media. I los guacho. Bye.
Latino USA is made possible in part by the Annie E. Casey Foundation creates a brighter future for the nation's children by strengthening families, building greater economic opportunity, and transforming communities. The Wincote Foundation. And Funding for Latino USA's coverage of A Culture of Health is made possible in part by a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
You should do like a diss track.
a high school diss track.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you should. No, I'm just kidding.
You say unless.
Yeah, unless.
From PRX.